Good evening. This is Mae Brussel, and it's KAZU FM in Pacific Grove, California. It's broadcast number 677, November the 26th, 1984. The Los Angeles Herald had a story this last Friday on the anniversary of Kennedy's assassination. It says, first quiet November 22nd in 20 years, Dallas moves JFK observance to May. They're going to begin remembering him on the anniversary of his birthday, May the 29th, along with Mae Brussel, same day. And they're not going to celebrate or remember, the word celebrate isn't appropriate, not remember, the November 22nd date any longer, and they compared it to the shooting of Abraham Lincoln, that people are not familiar with that date, and they don't have that as the day that they remember. But the interesting part about this story that was interesting for me and many of you, I'm sure, it says Dallas Associated Press, for the first time in 20 years, Dealey Plaza was quiet on November 22nd, with only a few dozen people wandering by yesterday to snap pictures of the building from which a sniper gunned down President John F. Kennedy. I thought that after 20 years it was significant that the word sniper was used. I'm sure many textbooks will continue to say Lee Harvey Oswald, and some call him the alleged assassin. But Lee Harvey Oswald did not kill John Kennedy. He did not fire a gun from that building. And one of the very important things to remember is to preserve your history. Don't go into the stages of 1984 where the lies are told and accepted and they erase the past. Whenever possible, whenever you see these things, call attention to the people you're with and young people who are growing up and bring up the fact. Just don't pass it off. Even if their school book says Oswald did it, write to the textbook companies if you want. But the truth is that it was a sniper, and it would be interesting to know who did the fatal headshot as well as who did the other shots. On the anniversary, there was a program on KGO Radio. I missed it. Tom Davis told me about it this week, remembering Kennedy's death with Gary Mack and Harold Weisberg and David Lifton. Now, one of the subjects they brought up, I asked them, was on the material evidence of the murder in Kennedy and the discussion of whether or not when Lee Harvey Oswald was shot by Jack Ruby, did he live in the ambulance or were there excessive pressures that might have pushed him to the other edge that he did die? And they brought up information that he was, in fact, alive or objecting to the treatment in the ambulance. Now, that kind of thinking is academic. They're academic researchers, and you can break the research into really two areas separate from each other. They shouldn't be separate, but there are some people that refuse to get off the grassy knoll, and they are limited to how John Kennedy or Officer J.D. Tibbet or Oswald were killed and how it was covered up, going into the autopsy, the bullet directions, the make of the gun, the amount of bullets that went, the location of the gunman. That's how killed and how covered. Then there is another group that I believe I spearheaded, but I'm very, very happy at how the researchers have mushroomed and increased along those lines that want to know who did it, and where are they today? That's the big question. Are they making the decisions? Are they leading us to that Armageddon? Are they going to start World War III? How did they form corporations and separate think tanks? And how do they melt? What did they do in our Pentagon that made them able to create foreign policy or influence the direction of votes and members of Congress and future influence in padding Congress with their way of thinking? Some of these big movers and shakers of the Kennedy assassination, as I say, are dead. Mr. Wild Bill Donovan of the OSS, Frank Wiesner of the OSS, CIA, Alan Dulles, the same. They're gone. There's some that are alive. We'll never get out of them while they're alive, and maybe we'll know an Earl Warren is one that's deceased. John McCloy, William Buckley, Richard Helms, James Angleton, E. Howard Hunt would know, even Edwin Wilson, Robert Morris in Texas, and the Nelson Bunker Hunt family. There are many people who had a piece of the assassination pie, just like I drew a Larry McDonald pie last year when I did the Korean Airlines story. There are plenty of them alive, and I like to follow where they were from Dallas to where they are today and how they go on to become the richest people in America and some of the most influential in policy, as well as maintaining care for themselves. Now, that's enough about the Kennedy assassination. I'm going to spend the next of this hour and the next 2 or 3 weeks on the subject of the network of Hollywood actor, the Italian actor, the actor in Poland, the world leaders, our president, our pope, and the friend of Ronald Reagan's I mentioned last week in Italy, who was arrested, another fellow actor from Hollywood and Rome, and their links to Nazis in Colonial Dignidad, to Nazi gold that's missing, their planned coups, to hundreds of murders, to narcotics traffic. These are the power movers. And then after a few weeks, when I discuss this, I'm going into the, again, the Western goals, to the World Anti-Communist League, Reverend Moon, the John Singh Lab, Soldier of Fortune connections with Robert K. Brown from Colorado, John Singh Lab from Southeast Asia, a general in the army, with his connections to the Nazis and the fascist organizations, the domestic and the foreign attachments, because it's going to move closer to our shores, and it's very important to identify what is happening using the word terrorism or communism in all of these instances to get control of our lives. And Ronald Reagan's in place. He's got 4 more years to do when he started out, that he started out as governor of California. Now, a great deal of the research that I'm going to do now and into the next few weeks comes from a team that do, I guess you'd call it, networking with me, who are also interested in that part two of the assassinations, who did it and how they move. Jonathan Marshall up in the Bay Area has information that he gets out in terms of parapolitics. Ted Rubenstein goes to the library and gets newspapers from all over the world and translates them for Jonathan and for David Emery up north. David and Nip Tuck put these on the air, and they have provided me with a lot of material, and not only material that was taken from libraries and other sources, but then referred. I have the books in my library, but they would look up the books where these people were mentioned and making the networks while I was doing a lot of other things or reading simultaneously. There are teams of people putting information together that I am now going to pass on to you. We've been doing it for a long time, but the bulk of these articles came from the people that I just mentioned that I'll be referring to. And then in the few weeks that follow, there's some other people back east who provide with invaluable information. I mean, all these resources are so unusual. And I know you listeners and subscribers of the tapes appreciate it, but I do want to give credit for the massive amount of information I'm coming in, and I do want to use some of theirs now because it's very, very important and share it with you. To begin now on this, the subject of terrorism, the Vatican, drug running, Nazis, missing money, and it all ties together. By way of a long introduction, because events are coming to a head now, what makes the past so important is what we see in the news today. I just want to bring up 3 articles, 2 in the paper and 1 that I wrote as a beginner on this subject. Well, we talk about them all the time. It's not a beginning new subject to you, but just to go more in depth. In 1974, I wrote for The Realist, Why Was Patricia Hearst Kidnapped? And on the cover of that article, which you can obtain those from research, and Aptos, you can, I'll give you the address to get the article, I defined 3 kinds of radical groups. 1, the SLA, which was nothing at all. The title was given by the CIA, by Operation Chaos and the COINTEL program. It was a group of people in the Bay Area. There were the Black Panthers, the Black Guerrilla Family, the Vietnam Veterans Against the War, the United Farm Workers, the Chino Defense Fund, the Venceremos, the lesbians, the gay women's group. There weren't so many movements with the men, political movements at the time, but this was 10 years ago. And because they were all potential little seeds of activism that weren't working together, but had the potential to do it, the FBI and the military came in, infiltrated them, used a few of the people from the movements as a cover for what became known as our California kidnapping of the heiress, the Symbionese Liberation Army that Ronald Reagan used with Edwin Meese and Lowell Jensen and the powers that be in California to the maximum. They used it to the max. He loved it. This was Reagan's, the Isla Vista, the San Quentin shootout, the People's Park, the Marin County shootout. That was RR to right to the hilt. And now he's got 4 years that he has kept this out of the news, not played that part. And this kind of terrorism that will emerge into the FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management, that I want to go into, and heaven help us if Edwin Meese, the Attorney General, with that group in power, they have been trained for it. They've been honed. It's like a surgeon doing neurosurgery who's been prepared and trained and had years of it, and you might be able to expect it soon. Now, the SLA was legitimate groups of people that were infiltrated by migratory birds that came out here. A man that worked for the Los Angeles Police Department, like Lewis Tagwood, is trained and told he'll be a leader and take this motley crowd. And then they could introduce at their cremation on the evening television the SWAT team and the LAPD that keeps files on all these groups, that puts them into Western Gold's $100,000 computer that goes to John Singh Laub and to Edward Teller and the father of the hydrogen bomb and Admiral Moore and Roy Cohn and the powers that be in Washington. It siphons from California, and it goes from 50 states. It just happened that we got a peek at the California matter. Now, the SLA after the cremation were a handful of people. I thought there would be more 10 years ago who legitimately would have sympathy and respond. I overestimated the feelings of the American people. I really thought there would be more people objecting to the SWAT team, burning people alive when they could starve them out. They bring them dinner for 2 days, and then they set fire to the house. Why not stop bringing the food and insist they come out without the weapons? It would work. But after the Orangeburg massacre at Jackson State and the Kent State, the shooting of American students on campus, and the Attica shootout, the San Quentin shootout, and the killing of Black Panthers, I thought there would be a genuine response. I was wrong. I thought when people came home from Vietnam and saw what was happening here, I was wrong. In that sense, I thought there would be a genuine people's movement, which completely died. They had you figured better than I did, you people out there. Not everyone listening to this, but there's a whole group that they had sized up, and there would be no social movement. And then to emerge out of the ashes like the Phoenix program, which I'm convinced the Phoenix is the German Nazi, the eagle arising out of the ashes. William Colby tested that in Southeast Asia, and he came home to be CIA director. But out of the Phoenix would come what I referred to as the SLA-CIA, would give birth to the total CIA operation. And I said there that there would be more, in quotes, liberation armies, more fictitious messages, more forged documents, more infiltrators and spies would surface, and legitimate reform groups of any kind or any legitimate group would be removed by acts of violence. And you see this now with the bombing of the abortion clinics and the Nazi and the Klan emerging now. We're not getting any more infiltration. We're simply getting bombed out, up yours and off the face of the earth. There's no more nice guys now. It's 10 years later, and they don't infiltrate. I said there would be peaceful, if there are peaceful meetings or rallies, that would be broken up, or concerts. Kidnappings and bombings would then be explained and dedicated to the memory of those past people who died. And then I wrote, these planned acts of violence will include chemical warfare. That will be the Reichstag excuse that Ronald Reagan would make to take control of the country. He was part of the Garden Plot, the plan for the overthrow of the country, worked with Edmund Meese and the FEMA group, the plans to take over the Congress, the White House, and make the decisions. He was groomed for this. We're ready for it. It's 10 years later, so let's get on with the show. What's in the newspaper today? Deadly germs ordered by mail. This is out of Buffalo, and I'm not going to run through this article because it's too important, and I want you to get it and get it clear, even if you have it in your own newspapers. This is the way it reads. FBI agent said yesterday they are consulting biologists and researching scientific papers to figure out why there allegedly was an attempt to smuggle potentially deadly microorganisms into Canada. Why doesn't the FBI find why they're made at all? They're trying to figure out why they get to Canada. Why are they in the United States? Do you want them in your city? You're going to get them. Do you want them? They're being made. It goes on. The FBI has broadened the scope of their investigation tremendously. They're looking into a motive for an alleged operation involving the smuggling of botulism and tetanus cultures. They're looking for a motive to why you smuggle them. Why don't they look in for the motive of making botulism and tetanus? It gets worse. Now the paper says, now we're stuck with the ideas of looking at each other in every possible motive. Mr. Thurston of the FBI said there's enough botulism produced to wipe out a whole city. Which city? Do you think because they take it to Canada, it's going to be a Canadian city? Forget it. He can't call a Reichstag fire. Reagan can't call an emergency by taking a city in Canada. It's got to go up to Canada and come back down into Washington and Seattle and Oregon or Northern California, the Bay Area. Don't think it's just going to rest up in Canada any more than the Watergate money comes from the CIA and the Vatican, and it goes all the way down to South America and Chile and up to Texas and the committee to reelect the president and back to a bank in Miami to Bernard Barker's bank. It doesn't go from Langley, Virginia. Imagine the postage you'd save if you sent from Langley, Virginia down to Miami, but that would be too easy. Now, it says the orders of the cultures were placed with a nonprofit foundation based in Silver Spring, Maryland. Can you imagine getting tax-free deductions? I want my plane fare. I'm going, you know, New York. I'm going to California. I have a steak dinner. How much tax deduction do you get to make botulism and deadly microorganisms to tetanus? How much, you know, do you need to make that stuff a tax deduction? They give that to J. Peter Grace to figure out cost expenses if he wants to reduce the expenses. Take off the tax deduction for the manufacturers of tetanus. It says two Canadians, Kevin Birch from Toronto and James Cahoon from Ontario, were arrested on conspiracy charges when they went to pick up outside of Canada near Buffalo this chemical. They said the FBI is gathering scientific material that will allow it to get a clearer understanding on the case. The agents are checking into the associates. Well, that would be smart to check into the associates of the men arrested. We're looking at any of the people that these people connected with it socially or in business. Neither of the men arrested had any scientific background, but whoever placed the orders knew what they were talking about. The first order to the American Type Culture Collection of Silver Springs. The first one, can you imagine a place called the American Type Culture Collection of Silver Spring? Was placed in September by a phony identity. It was picked up by a private mail service in Buffalo. As if this Maryland place didn't know that they were sending it to some phony name up in Buffalo. Another order was placed a month later under a false identification. So the germ war is about to begin. Ready or not, you've had 10 years. I've warned you. And now hold on to your seats. The germ war is going to spread because we don't know what other cities they sell this to. You don't know what other states. You don't even know who these people are. I would like to know if the laboratories in Maryland have anything to do with the Helionetics or Dr. Brian from California and the work of Dr. Brian when Caspar Weinberger was Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare. You remember we had a team out here. There was from Bechtel. We had Mr. Schultz, Mr. Weinberger. Weinberger worked for Ronald Reagan when he was put over the board for mind control programs. We had castrations, electrode implants, lobotomies when Reagan was here and Caspar Weinberger was HEW. And they were told that was a no-no by Senator Sam Ervin. Well, and Lowell Jensen and Edwin Meese pushing all these things simultaneously as well as the garden plot. So we have a California base here of power that moved to Washington, so it's not only California's problem, it's yours. Now, the Miami Herald has a story, Terrorist Handbook Found in Prison. And the reason these things are important is that it's time for Reagan to get his Reichstag going because his buddies are being arrested. People are talking in the organized crime syndicates in Italy, and their arrest is going to take place in Canada and in New York, and it's going to triple out to California, to the Reagan mafia group and a lot of other areas if these investigations keep going. There has to be an out. And besides, they have planned the takeover of this country by using these methods. So it's important to check them out. Now, this terrorist handbook was found in prison. It's a story from Phoenix, Arizona, UPI story from the Miami Herald. November the 15th, copies of a handbook containing instructions on assassination, bombing, political kidnapping were found at the Arizona State Prison. Chuck Ryan, spokesman from the Arizona Department of Correction, said his office hadn't even seen the handbook, but it's getting National Honor Service, so you can imagine the media effect of the handbook. The handbook is a 15-page book for the Black Liberation Army, the Sam Melville, Jonathan Jackson unit. That goes back to the old shootout at San Quentin and George Jackson, San Quentin, Jonathan Jackson with Judge Haley at Marin County. It tells the ways to kill, bomb, and destroy the enemy. This looks like the CIA manual that was written in North Carolina, Fort Bragg, and used by the CIA. Well, these people are hired by the CIA through the police departments, and they're giving them these books, and then, of course, they will, in quotes, escape, and they'll be unleashed just as they were during the California terror years, and as it went on and kidnapped Patty Hearst, to Gethera Wheeler and Donald DeFries, prison guys and friends, meeting later, you know, with the same mind control people in charge of them and the CIA in charge of them. Now they've pulled out the old urban guerrilla. I wrote about that in my book, the article 10 years ago by Carlos Marighella. He was killed in 1969 by a Bolivian. Whenever the CIA wants to show that the radical terrorists at work again, they pull out what's the equivalent of Litwack's book from the coup d'etat, that he works for Georgetown Center for Strategic Studies, and he has a book on how to overthrow countries. Well, this book could be written by Litwack, but it looks like the same kind of book, but it's supposed to be Carlos Marighella's book. It must be the best sold book outside of the Bible in the world, because wherever you find a terrorist, there's one here by his hand. This book was supposedly found in a cell in a California prison. That will come to California. It will go from the east to Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, and sure enough, we'll have it out here in California again. The handbook has 10 commandments of assassination. Do you believe that men inside a prison would be reading books on how to kill? They'd never get a parole date. So the same week that we have all this information about the germ warfare and the botulism and the traveling and the mysterious names and mysterious labs and the tetanus, we get the handbooks in the prison. That isn't coincidental. That is right on course. It is 10 years just about since 10 years last this summer that I wrote that article. And now these things are going to happen as the federal government and the Justice Department get a tighter rein on things. If things don't go their way, whether it's the deficit, whether it's contracts with defense weapons, whether we're losing certain battles strategically with our allies, whatever it is that Ronald Reagan wants to do, he has all the techniques and possibilities to pull that major coup, and even if he doesn't order them, drop the botulism now. The Pentagon will drop it, the CIA will drop it, and then he will be forced to take control. And that is why he's been trained so well to do it. Now on to the Vatican, to Reagan, and the other larger story, because this is not separate from it and fits into it. I've tried to put these in somewhat of a chronological order, but there's no way it makes a full circle, so I'll do the best I can, repeat when is necessary, and go into this subject now that I briefly, just for a second, mentioned last week. This is the San Francisco Examiner last week, November 18th, 1984. 37 in Italy accused of selling atomic bombs. Not only of the germ warfare, the atomic bombs. The indictment of 37 people, including actor Rosanna Brazzi, I mentioned last week, and a man charged with conspiring to kill the Pope, John Paul II. Together, they were accused of selling missiles, tanks, and other advanced weapons, and offered to sell atomic bombs. Now, at first, I was going to squash this into one broadcast. I'm going to stretch it out and do it slow because it's very, very important that the man who is been charged, this actor, with trying to sell atomic bombs, his co-defendant, among others, has been charged with trying to kill the Pope. And it's also important to know that the people getting the atomic bombs were not the leftists. If the leftists and the KGB and the Bulgarians tried to kill the Pope, the bombs were going to Saudi Arabia and the Arabian countries that are not leftist countries. They were accused and indicted of trying to sell atomic bombs. The traffickers are suspected of having to offer to sell three atomic bombs at $924,000 apiece to Arab countries And even though the sale didn't go through, the Trento State Prosecutor has named Mr. Brazzi, the actor, B-R-A-Z-Z-I. He's 68 years old. I mentioned him before. He made Three Coins in a Fountain, South Pacific. He's been in Hollywood, and we'll go more on his context. Take it in its chronological order. And along with him and the other defendants is Becker Celenk, C-E-L-E-N-K, who has been indicted on another charge by the Italian judge in the attempt to shoot John Paul. It's similar to Raymond Donovan, our Secretary of Labor, who has not resigned, who is wanted on 123 different charges, but his co-defendant is wanted on two murder charges, and two other people that were murdered said they did it to protect Raymond Donovan. Now, the next article, this is the one I referred to just for momentarily last week, actor Rosano Brazzi indicted for smuggling. This is another article similar to that. It says that Judge Palermo wound up a five-year probe of a ring that allegedly operates in Italy and West Germany and Spain and Turkey. Turkey, the client of Robert Keith Gray, the government there, and Bulgaria, other parts of the Mediterranean. The two were indicted for arms and one for the attempted murder on the Pope. But it does involve West Germany, and we'll do more on Germany and bombs and plans to bomb Israel that this team tie up to and even more. Now, Senator Cranston had a story. Cranston cites nuclear terrorism. This was in June of 84. Senator Cranston said the sale of weapons, grade plutonium, and nuclear technology to potentially unstable nations is a grave injury, and he was warning that Iran, Iraq, and Libya want nuclear weapons, the capacity to make them, and Pakistan has the capability. He said, we have permitted the export of nuclear material, plants, and technology that may be used in a lethal assault against us. You might make a copy of this tape and send it to Senator Cranston. They already have atomic bombs that are whole they're selling that would create the Armageddon, the excuse of World War III. They don't need, it's nice if they have the materials to make their own bombs, but if you don't have the knitting needles and the yarn to make a sweater, you can buy a sweater. So what they've been selling, and this investigation goes back a few years, is the desire to sell atomic bombs to the countries that will wipe out Israel and make the biblical prophecy true. But the same people that are doing that are working in a way that Ajah said. He said that he lied about information on the assassination attempt of the Pope because he wanted to create an anti-Soviet Fuhrer. So there are political parts of the Nazi gray wolves that play very important in Ajah and Mr. Celenk and also Mr. Brazzi that you'll see through all of this, the Nazi part coming out and the intent coming out that is constant through these various articles. Now, one of the people who was selling weapons to Libya that Dave Emery Nittuck did a program on, a very good one on Wilson and Turple. Frank Turple was working with various people getting the technology there to Libya to have weapons to shoot down planes and the possibility of atomic bombs eventually, the missiles, the earth-to-plane missiles. And Edwin Wilson was working very hard with that. But the nuclear problem of releasing nuclear bombs to go overseas has more to do with our Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and William Simon, of course, was Secretary of Energy. He's on the board of Helionetics that has the direct pipeline for control of the White House in case of emergencies with Edward Teller. And our own Atomic Energy Commission and the group protecting our weapons that would be sold to these people is even more interesting than selling them the particles. I'm going to take a one-minute break now and go into Edwin Wilson and bombs and Mr. Waldo Duberstein, who died just at the time that Edwin Wilson was being prosecuted for shipping military equipment over to Gaddafi and other charges.